Okay, so the chats will be to the rank side.
Hey guys, thank you for joining me today. I have with me Dr. Gary Bailey, who is the CEO of Integrity Asset Management in the ATL area. And he also has two business partners with him. Would you guys like to introduce yourself?
I'm Tamika Bunnell. I'm the ops manager.
And I'm Jerry Gordon, CFO.
Awesome. Awesome. It's good to have you guys today. Good to have you. Gary and I go way back. I am a fan of him. He's one of the greatest musicians I know. And so it's good to see him on a different platform. I don't know anybody else that can play the keys like that. So if he's he can do that just as well as he's doing this business here, I know he's going to do great. So how long have you guys been in business?
Actually, we just started business this year, but over the last, 3 years, me and Jerry have worked together, me and Tamika have worked together. So we kind of just decided to collaborate, and all of the knowledge and skills that we've been pouring into companies, making them millions of dollars, we decided to do it for ourselves.
Right.
That's cool. I can definitely understand that. Tell me a little bit about your company, just so our audience has an idea.
So about us, we came together. Our initial plan was actually multifamily management, but then all of a sudden it started thinking about just different assets. Of course, time changing. Jerry has a background in financial management, stocks. Tamika has a background in property management and insurance. And so just kind of collaborating and bringing all of that together to help people understand how to manage their assets and to continue to grow our business, especially for people of color. So we're trying to really bring people of color together because there's a lot of things that we see, but we don't know. So we come together to teach them and take them from point A to point B.
Awesome, awesome. You know, just in what you said about people of color not being able to put things together and go from point A to point B, I think right now that is something that's very important, not just for our people, but all people to be able to do, because in the area that I live in, I see a lot of people who don't know how to put things in order as far as, you know, the tools that they need in order to advance themselves. I understand you said that Jerry does stocks and Tamika, I can remember your name, that's my name, insurance. And so, you know, people of color that I've run into, they don't understand assets. They don't understand how stocks can benefit them. They don't understand how insurance is considered an asset in some form. And they don't know how to put all those things together and make them work for themselves. Whereas as an insurance agent myself, I would go into other communities and see how they make all that come together and benefit them. And so I think it's very important that people of color understand how to put those things together.
You know, I said something the other day. It's like, even when we go back, we were given 40 acres and a mule. But but we weren't taught how to do business to keep it. That's right. So what we're trying to do is teach people how to do business. For instance, you know, me and Tamika was talking a couple of weeks ago. I can tell you how to build a business to $1 million business because I've done it. But also I failed at doing it and I've learned things that I needed to do. So what did I do? I started educating myself. Okay, how do I take my properties and make sure that I'm paying my taxes? Oh, put my properties through a revocable trust. You know, you have to learn different strategies. And if we don't read, if we don't learn, if we don't even sit amongst each other, how do we know how to take that business from point A to point Z? But we forgot it's 24 of the letters in between that.
That's right.
I'm done.
Oh, right.
You know, a lot of people think you can just jump in and you're there already. You know, they don't really go through the process. And like you said, reading is very important. And I don't think, you know, when I look and when I talk to people, one of the things that I hear all the time is it's a scam. Because they don't read. They don't know how to invest. They don't know how to, you know, look at properties and you know, what's the value of something. They don't understand that.
Can I say something?
And so,
can I say something?
Sure, go ahead.
Because I am also a financial advisor and I do a lot of these workshops. And one of the things I always say is that skeptical people are always broke.
Yep.
Skeptical people don't have any money.
They don't. So they don't want to lose.
You know, and so rather than, you know, taking the time to educate ourselves, especially in a microwave generation where people have this level of intellectual laziness.
Yes.
Where instead of them going the extra mile to try to quantify, qualify, objectify, figure things out, the first thing they'll do is they'll just discount it. Or you see it all the time, people sharing things on Facebook and they haven't even read the article.
Right.
Oh, yes.
Intellectual laziness. Yes. And that translates directly into how we manage our personal lives and our finances as well. So it really is a major issue. And I just, that irks me though. Have you even read?
And most of the time they haven't read it. They just heard by word of mouth and they heard or they saw what somebody else did instead of going and investigating it for themselves.
Correct.
So most of the time when they say that, they haven't gotten all the information. In order to make a good sound judgment on something, you need to have all the information. And I don't think that we get all the information.
Right.
No, Kapuki said that.
right,
because such and so said, and it's like, but such and so,
they're
not even in a better position than you, or it could be someone who's doing a little bit better than them that they kind of, you know, take their word for it. And then here's this person who is acting under the guise of being knowledgeable, but it's the blind leading the blind, and we'd rather go to Bossip and Boss.
Correct.
Than to listen to a podcast, listen to an audiobook. I think at this point in time in life where there's so many smartphones with free courses online, like edX, so there's so many tools, but we choose to focus on dysfunction.
Right.
That's my biggest.
And I think that's normal. It's normal for people to be in dysfunction. And I think they just kind of go with the norm instead of taking the time to learn, because like you said, there are so many platforms that do offer free education, even free financial stuff. I see it all the time. And I don't think people, you know, take advantage of the tools that they have out there. I'm a big advocate of people having not just tools, but knowing how to do it. I often tell people that when I grew up, my grandparents would say, you know, learn all you can. They would tell us, you know, go and become this, you know, you can do anything you want to do. But one of the things I preach and I teach to my kids and is that that's good to tell somebody that. And I understand what they meant, because you can only tell somebody as much as you know. And it's good to tell people that. But if you give somebody a toolbox who's never used a tool, they don't know what to do with it.
Right.
And so I think it's very important that when you give somebody the tools, that they know how to use those tools. And my whole point is,
I have another thing to interject, okay?
Go ahead.
Two-thirds Holy Ghost. One-third. Financial advice. Don't play with me, kid. Okay, so here's the thing. Okay, I forgot what I'm about to say. What was I about to say? Hold on. What did you just say? Say that again.
Toolbox.
I was talking about having the tools a toolbox of tools, having the right tools.
Toolbox. Okay, it's going to come back into you. Okay.
It'll come back to you. All right.
Okay.
What are some of the tools that you think that would benefit people as far as being able to maximize their benefits as far as whether it's in property, whether it's in stock, whether it's in insurance, whether it's, you know, what are the things that you think that not necessarily just tools, but some guidelines that they should be able to get started with or to follow through on?
Well, I personally feel as though insurance is important because that's kind of like my first hat is insurance. And I feel like our community isn't taught the value of life insurance, right? Because that's a financial tool that's a vehicle that they can use for so many things. Even when it's time to put the children through school, because you can, you know, access, you can pull from it and access that equity that you have in the policy.
Correct.
But we don't know about that. So what I try to do is, because I also do taxes. So at tax time, I'm like, listen, you claim this child every year, get this child a life insurance policy right now. Okay. Pay for it in full. Right now, annually, the whole thing, you ain't making no payment plans. Pay for it up front annually because you always have the money this time a year. So it's no excuse for it to lapse. So I think with us, we have to kind of, you know, we have to deal with us a certain type of way because you know what time it is, a tax time. That's when you see the family out and everybody got the new J's, you know? And that's the only time.
Correct.
The mom and the dad and the children in the mall for the whole first quarter. You see that. And then after that, that's it. We use that as just splurge money, but they get it and they don't know what else to do with it. Right. It's the, I'm a buy a new car. I'm a buy some furniture. I'm a do this. No, you need to get that child some life insurance. You need to get you some life insurance, you know, and they have someone like Jerry who can properly advise them on what to do with that and bet, you know, get some index funds, right? Get some fractional shares of Microsoft. Everyone has an iPhone. Get you some fractional shares in Apple. Get you some fractional shares. And that way you can see a return on that. And that's the time of year. Me primarily is when I'm like on their neck, like, this is what you need to do.
Okay, this is what I was going to say. This is the thing. Go ahead.
No, he got it. Go ahead, Jerry. For okay.
So there's a saying, and I do this. I talk to a lot of people each week. I do these weekly webinars, and I talk about insurance strategies, investment strategies, estate, all these kind of things. And one of the things that I say, and I've said before, is if you take, I use KFC for example, right? KFC is a multi-billion-dollar brand, okay? And there are all of these blogs and YouTube videos saying that they have Colonel Sanders' recipe. Here is a thing about Colonel Sanders' recipe or Popeye's recipe or Chick-fil-A's recipe. Yes, they are proprietary. But here's the thing, you can put that recipe out and 99.9% of people will not use it.
Right.
Because they are interested in it, they don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
You know the difference between interested in something and wanting something? P-U-W. Prioritization, urgency, and work. You must have all things and want something.
Yep.
If you don't P-U-W, you don't really want it, you just interested.
Yeah.
Right.
See, when you see an investment account with $1.3 million in there, when I made my video and I showed you, I made all of it, oh my God, I wanted it. They won't sign up. They're interested in having a six pack when they see yours on Facebook, see.
Okay.
But when you realize that you gotta get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and you can't eat pizza and you can't, and you can't, all of a sudden they busy and they gotta run it by their wife. You see? That's why You take it like a what? Grain of sand.
Yeah.
So PUW is important. And a lot of people in our community tout black wealth because it's this in vogue thing, right? We've been so disenfranchised so long as a community of people. But at the end of the day, you cannot really make someone really want something that they don't want for themselves. Most people are just interested in building wealth. They don't really want to be wealthy for real. Because if you really want to be wealthy, you work till 1 o'clock in the morning.
That's right.
You work 16 hours a day. When you really being wealthy, you up when everybody else sleep. You thinking about stuff when everybody else out what they think, you work. Being financially successful is work.
Yeah.
And it's work. Not only that, you're going to surround yourself around people that's going to benefit
you.
Now, for instance, I'm sitting here with my team. And we all have our strong suits. Jerry put it best when we talked earlier. He said, Gary, you know strategy. You're the strategy man.
That's right.
And Tamika knows operations. Let me tell you, we work together. I will not trust anybody else in this world to handle operations more than her because she knows operations. You're not going to put no wool over her eyes. Jerry knows finance. He can put them numbers together in his head before we even put it on paper so we know where we're going. But here's the problem. We don't like to sit under nobody and be taught. You know, my background is education. And to me,
he busts out the whiteboard.
I bust out the whiteboard. And it's
not the whiteboard.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. You know, the whiteboard. He's like, we don't have him all. I was like, oh, he could take us
to school. Do we have comments coming in? We in the private chat. Do we have?
Oh, Lord, we missed all the comments. So,
okay.
But I do that in an educational form because I want everyone to learn on their level. So I make sure, you know, because you got your visual learners, you got your audio learners, and I want everybody to learn. But Tamika always used to say in the background, oh, Lord, here he go with this whiteboard again. That was just one of my techniques. But for the three of us, we work well together because we know how to stay in our lane. Number one, we know how to accommodate each other. Well, no, that's not the word I'm looking for. Accompany. It's just like with music. I accompany the singer when I'm playing. So I don't step in her lane and I don't step in Jerry's lane because he's the king in his lane. She's the king in her lane. And if we learn how to work together like that, then we can take her, because he has his own business. She has her own business. I have my own business. Now we collaborated them together to build an empire.
There you go.
That's awesome. So suited to benefit, you know, a certain demographic of people where we see the need, and you know, it's needed in our community. And our whole take on everything is overall development, not just developing a property, but the individuals within the property and providing the tools and services that they need, because that's where a lot of these programs fall short, is that they're focusing on one thing.
Right.
You can't just say, oh, I'm going to give you affordable housing, but they don't know how to budget. They don't know how, you know, they're missing so many other tools. It's counterproductive. Right. And that's why in most major cities, there's the housing choice voucher, the waiting list are over, you know, thousands of people. It's unrealistic. And then there's also a demographic of people that pass down the vouchers like family heirlooms.
So true.
Yes.
Because, you know, because they haven't gotten past that, right? They just know how to get housing, right? And they know what to do in order to keep their housing, right? Because you tell, oh, you ain't gonna make me lose my, right?
They're not gonna lose their housing. That's correct.
Right. So they know what they have to do, but only in that
aspect. Hold on. Joshua Collins said, if you don't know how to use a tool, it can become a weapon.
That's a
fact.
You better stop, Josh.
That's a fact. That's true. That's true. But that's very true.
I'll go deeper. It becomes a self-destructive weapon. Because the toolbox is in your hand. You've been given the tools. If you're not taught how to use them, you're going to fall on your own sword.
So,
that's why we have webinars with Jerry, and you can sit down and talk to Tamika about how to better yourself. But for some reason, it seems like we can receive it more coming from somebody a little more pale than us. I said it. I did. I'm sorry.
But it's white and gray.
No, but you're telling the truth.
And I say this, and I give this story, and people ask me, and they've asked me this over the last probably almost 2 years that I've been doing my financial workshops, and they say, what made you start doing Black Work Bootcamp? What made you start doing that? And I said, once upon a time, I was tasked with giving a presentation to a group of people who didn't look like me. And it was the same information that a white guy had given the night before. I came and gave the same information, regurgitated the same information. Now, they don't even know that a lot of that may have been taught by me, but because they were more receptive to the person that was giving the information, I stood up there and everything I said was questioned. The guy actually had to say, if you're not going to listen to this young man, right here in Georgia, if you're not going to listen to this young man, you can leave.
Wow.
So I said from that day forward, I am not going to provide my knowledge to anybody that's not going to receive the information from me based on how I look. Because there's too many people that look like me that can help me build and grow my business. My own community has helped me build my business. And so I'm not going to spend my marketing dollars trying to reach people that are not going to receive me.
Right.
So that's just... So this is all about us coming together and dealing. And right now is a perfect time to do it in this environment.
You know, Auntie, okay, I see my aunt just said, we have not been taught to trust our people.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And
you're taking all my questions tonight.
it's sad because even when it comes to trust, I didn't want to say this, but it's the truth. Me and Tamika worked at a company, and we were so proud because when I got there, we said, it's a Black-owned company. And the pride and the sense of appreciation that we had when we got there, I was excited to get up in the morning and put my suit on and go. And then it was so good that even the portfolio that I had, my portfolio was at the bottom. Am I lying? And within 3 months, my portfolio was number one.
She refused to make your portfolio number one.
She refused to make it number one. But let me tell you what the problem was. It was people that looked just like me. It was people that were the same complexion as me. And they couldn't stand it. And it's like, y'all, if we work together, can I get deep real quick?
Mm-hmm.
When I first got there, they wanted me to fire her. Mm-hmm. I didn't know her from a can of paint. And the first thing I did, I said, meet me at Starbucks. And we sat down and we talked. And I got to know her. And I got to understand her passion and her drive. But see, I didn't even know then that it was actually creating a relationship to where we sit now. Mm-hmm. But I didn't give up on her because as a group of people, we worked together. Me and Jerry worked at a company where they just, I can't even describe the BS that we went through there.
Not even worth mentioning.
It's not even worth mentioning. But we went through so much stuff there where it was like, what's going on here? So what we did, me and Jerry were the two regionals in place. And we got our team of managers together and we said, listen, we're going to bring both of our teams together. We're going to sit down. We're going to school them. And we're going to say, look, y'all, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. One of the greatest things we did was get them together to try to get them on one accord. Five stayed. Everybody else got scared because we get this thing of fear when it's time to come up against something. We get scared. We run. We hide. But see, I'm not nothing.
Okay.
And sometimes that's a bad thing. But I'm not scared of nothing. If you do something I don't like, I'm going to tell you. If you try to get me to do something that's going to jeopardize my character I'm going to tell you, and I'm not going to do it. That's just how I operate. You do it yourself.
But see, the thing about it is that, you know, I'm not going to say this because this is a certain platform and everybody here is saved and stuff. So I can't say what I want to say. I tell my students and clients in my workshop, you need what I call FU money.
Mm.
Everybody needs FU money. And you know what FU money does? It gives you the courage to say what you want to say.
Look here, let me go ahead.
To move.
Let me interject.
Your own character.
Let me interject.
And not be under the whims of someone else's, the vagaries of someone else's personality.
Okay.
See, a reason why everybody can't do like you, Gary. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? And that's why having your, like, it goes all the way back to being financially fit.
Mm-hmm.
So that if you're at a job, because there's somebody watching this right now, you're going to start a business 5 years from now, and you don't know how that's going to happen. But you need to work on your day-to-day financial planning and management so that you're not in a position working a job that you don't want to work with people who don't like you for no reason.
Right.
You can say to that boss, you know what? I don't really like you. And I'm going to tell you something. Matter of fact, what is your unemployment paper? Here, go and get that damn paper. Because you got me up. What you do. And they're going to look at you like, I'm going to be like, as a matter of fact, I was just playing with you. I really don't even want this job. I was just spying on it because, you know, I'm starting my own company. See, when you got stacks on deck, you can do that.
You don't even, okay, so I personally feel like you don't have to have stacks on deck. I'm all about having a savings, an emergency fund. But FU is FU at any given time with me. I feel like if that person have enough drive and passion and hustle in them, like me personally, I'm not going to compromise my integrity. I don't care who you are. I'm going to tell you to your face, on sight. You know, and that's why people take me as confrontational because I don't do past aggressive. Right. So if it gets to F you in that moment it's F you and find me. Look, find me. Because guess what? I'll take that little consistent money and I have enough hustle in myself that I'm gonna be good. Yeah. But I'm not gonna let anyone disrespect me or compromise my integrity. For a check. I'm not for sale. I don't do that. So
right. Wait, say that again. I'm not for sale.
No, I'm not for sale. I'm for a check. Who you talk to someone, what you say, huh? Not doing it, and that's a fact. So, and I think that's the biggest thing with us. Like, even like, let's go to current events. I don't know if everyone saw the video with the gentleman who worked for FedEx, and he was disrespected and you know, to the ultimate level by a troglodyte, and he was so worried about his check that he thought the thing to do was to go on live and cry. I'm like, you're a whole grown man out here. He should have slapped my dick, cracker. You know, that's just, you ain't gonna spit on me. I'm gonna slap
that's you. That's why I was just, you're talking about the guy with the FedEx.
Yeah,
I was just looking at him like,
what is wrong with you? I'm like,
crying. Oh, it wouldn't have been no crime.
Right.
Not for me.
But I feel it was due to the fear.
Yeah.
Losing his livelihood, like that job is how
correct.
You know, because that's what we do. We give all of our power to these companies, and a lot of them recognize that, so they feel they can handle us a certain type
correct.
Of way. They knew they can handle it a certain type of way. They had to be tactful, okay? Because they know I'm
agree.
And I want all the smoke at all times. I thank you.
At all times.
Yeah. You need to be tactful and come correct. But most of the time, they don't feel that they have to because there's this fear of, oh my God, I'm going to lose my job.
Right.
What's the job?
Right.
Right.
I see that a lot. I see that a lot where people are afraid. And so because they've given the company all the power, they don't have anything, you know, any backup plans, any savings, that the extra money that he spoke about,
or faith in themselves. Correct. Because if you have faith in yourself, you know you ain't gonna starve. You know you're not gonna get your car repo. You know you're not gonna let yourself get evicted. You know you're not gonna let your children suffer. You know what I mean? Like if you have that faith in yourself, you're not gonna let that happen. I mean, because I'm a girl and I have three children, and guess what? I it's hard out here I'm not compromising because I know I'm capable. Right. You get what I'm saying? Right. So I don't have to deal with certain things because I know I'm capable. And that's the thing. We don't have enough reliance in ourselves to think that we can be capable without punching somebody's clock.
Mm. Right.
Yeah. I one of the things I'm teaching my children is to come up with ideas, think outside of the box, be your own boss. I tell them all the time, I don't want you to go and punch somebody else's clock. I'm doing that, but it's not like it's gonna last forever. Right. It's just a matter of time.
Well,
you know?
We're already being taught how to be an employee. There are other people that are being taught how to be entrepreneurs, but then you group of people like us, we're trying to educate you how to be an entrepreneur. Punching a clock, I did that for a little bit, and I pretty much say, I got to fire y'all because it's time for me to do my own thing. Because why am I making you $500 million a year when I can make myself $100 billion a year?
And you're paying me what? While I'm making you that,
you're paying me pennies.
Right.
Yes. That is so true. And that is so true. And that's one of the things I am.
A formal education is good, but a financial education is everything. If you learn a financial education, which goes back to reading, which goes back to downloading these eBooks, which goes back to sitting among people that know what they're talking about, you get yourself a financial education. You can work for FedEx for 2 years and say, deuces, I'm out. I'm going to start my own business. Instead of sitting there struggling every day, going into work, wanting, having the dream up here, but the fear is preventing you from getting to that next level.
Right.
Wow. I like that. The dream, you have the dream in your mind, but in your heart, you're scared. Scared to make a move.
Yeah.
Yeah. What if I fail? You know, what if I'm not successful? What if nobody comes? And earlier you made a point about somebody made a comment about not trusting. We don't trust. We've been taught not to trust us.
Mm-hmm.
And that is it's like a huge thing right now, because when I look around and I can see, the other day I was out at a hair store. We all know who mostly have the hair stores.
Right.
There's an African-American lady that has the only hair store in our area. And the comments were made, well, their prices are too high. They got to give me a discount. But you'll go to the other store and won't ask for a discount. But you don't trust that the hair from our people that they're selling is good hair.
First of all,
and it just didn't make sense. Just didn't make sense to me. Why come you don't trust it? It didn't make sense to me. It made no sense to me. The only black owned business in that particular market in the area. Now we won't go ask the other folks, the little Pella folks, you know, for a discount, but we'll go ask our people for a discount. Why come we don't trust and say that again?
We feel like we're entitled. But at the end of the day, you walk into Walmart, I don't care if Sam was my best friend. He's not going to let me get anything that I want for free. You know, and even when it comes down to our own businesses, I'm not going to ask you to discount your rate to me for free. If I can support Bobby, I should be able to support Jerry 100-fold. Right now, we're at a black establishment because we believe in supporting our own people. And that's what, even supporting our own people, I may not agree with you sometimes. We may not see eye to eye, but I'm going to keep giving you my support because we talk about this all the time. We want to stick together, but it's all talk. We don't know how to put action behind sticking together.
Right.
And the level of even though now you can see, you, it's kind of like the veil is gone, right? You can see how much understanding and, you know, we'll make excuses for other people, but we don't have any tolerance when it comes to each other. Mm. Like the level of understanding and patience that we have for each other is like non-existent. And I feel like it has to be the complete other way around. And I definitely try to practice that because I have no tolerance for troglodyte people at all. Like, I have no understanding. I have more patience for us because I get that it's a lot of things we genuinely don't know. Mm-hmm. And we have a different experience. So when someone comes to you, even like, you know, when we worked at properties together and they're hostile and they come off a certain way, that's great. Don't nobody care nothing about all that. We can try to like resolve what you came here for, but like, you know, at the end of the day, I need you to bring that down so we can resolve what I can help you with. And ironically enough, we end up taking care of everything. We end up taking care of both chips on their shoulder and their forehead that they had when they came in, as well as what I can help them with, because a lot of times they feel like they're being judged by us. There's a level of pride that they have when we're dealing with each other, and it comes off harsh, you know, because we feel like we're being judged. We feel like, oh, they think like
I feel like you're being attacked. It's always a defensive.
Exactly.
The level of defensiveness.
And we have to have that patience to talk to each other to let, like, I understand. It's fine. Like, I'm not going to take it personal, but if you want me to help you, I'm here to help you. And I feel like we have to have that genuine, sincere willingness to help each other.
Right.
And that's the thing that I love about all of us, because at the end of the day, that's there. And every field that we operate in with an integrity, right? And we're doing it for the right reason, because we actually do care. And we want whatever we can help you with, we're going to help you. We're going to try to help you. But at the same time, we ain't nobody's fool. You understand? So, you know, you can, ain't no hustling over here. Ain't no hustling. You know, look like this. But, you know, it is what it is.
Understood. What takeaway would you like for everybody to know or to take away or to understand about what you do?
I think overall, we're here to empower everyone that we interact with. That includes our investors, our residents, their residents. It's overall empowerment of everyone collectively that we interact with, and we interact with everybody with respect and integrity and honesty that I think is very much missing in this lane, because everyone is pretty much just kind of trying to get a quick check. And, you know, I think it's more than that, because when it comes to people's homes, that's a big investment. That's one of your largest investments in your lifetime. So I feel like that definitely has to be done the right way, because the worst thing is you want to be is somewhere that you felt like you was hustled to get there.
Correct.
In any respects.
Yeah.
And that's even dealing with other people investing, you know, in opportunities with us. You don't want to feel like you're hustled. You want to feel comfortable with the entire process and know that everyone is operating with your best interest at heart overall.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would just say stay focused. I think focus is very important. Don't lose sight of the purpose. Everything you do must have a purpose and a mission. If you're doing it mechanically, if you're not strategic about what you do, you will soon lose sight, you will lose morale, and you will give up. And the difference between success oftentimes and failure isn't the smartest person. It isn't the person that has the most resources. It isn't the person that's the most connected, which in and of itself is a resource. But all of the accoutrements of what we think are required for success, those are really sort of not really as important as tenacity.
Mm.
The difference between success and failure is you kept going one more year.
That's right.
Or two more years.
Or one more hour.
Yep.
That's the main difference between success and failure. And so I think whoever's watching, I think, you know, Gary and I have worked together and we would sit there and we would talk about, we can do this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're like, they're not even doing a good job
at all.
Right.
At all.
And so that, I think, you know, but we, you know, that tenacity, I think, is extremely important.
I would say unity. Because even with us here, we've unified at some point in our quote unquote careers to bring us to this point. Even now with what's going on, we see everybody posting on Facebook and Instagram about black sticking together. There's an old saying that says, what you do speaks so loud, I can hear what you say.
Mm.
We talk about so much, but we don't put action behind what we're talking about. If we learn how to work together, it doesn't matter who's in charge, let's work together. It doesn't matter if you got more than me, let's work together. Because you may have some resources that could benefit my business, and I may have some resources that could benefit your business, and then we end up growing together. You know why we can't get back to Black Wall Street? Because we don't know how to work together. All these different businesses, 20 salons on one street, and you got 10 chairs in there, and the next one got 10 chairs in there, but it's only one stylist. Come together under one roof. If you work together, you make more money together. But we have this greed. We have this sense of selfishness that prevents us from getting to that next level.
And that individuality. And I don't feel like it works for us. I feel like we're village people and we work better together collectively than individually. So.
Great. I enjoy the takeaways from all three of y'all. That's good right there. I could talk to you guys all night. I do have a question.
We got cocktails. Yeah, we can't talk all night.
don't worry. I can't talk all night anyway. It'll be Coke 30 in a minute. But one of the Coca-Cola. So one of the questions from Instagram was, why do you think it's hard for African-Americans to invest?
I can answer that question because I've done a tremendous amount of research on the wealth gap, and really that has sort of been a predominant theme in this country. And really, there are really a couple of ways to answer that question. You can answer that question from more of a philosophical perspective, right? Which has to do with your thought process and how you were brought up and all of these, you know, these big philosophical, if you just think about yourself, that hard. Yeah, we get that, right? But more specifically, it goes all the way back to redlining. It starts with Jim Crow.
Yep.
And when you think about sort of the
starts with integration, we should have left.
Well, here's the thing. there is if you think about the majority of wealth in this country for really most of this country's existence has been held in real estate.
Mm-hmm.
Only more recently has wealth been decentralized from real estate into other assets.
Right.
And so you go back to even when the White House was built and to when the cotton farms were there. And if you were up in North Carolina, it was a tobacco farm, right? And if you were in the Southeast, it was cotton. All of the real estate was how wealth was measured. And what happened was Blacks in general that did have the opportunity to earn their freedom, that 40 acres and a mule, because of the lack of white folks didn't let us read. We never knew. And so when we did get it, they were able to sort of
strategically
take it away from us. And then from that to redlining, right? And Blacks were unable to qualify for loans.
Yep.
And so sort of snowballing effect has sort of hampered our ability to ever lift ourselves up by the bootstrap because we didn't have a bootstrap.
Some people who got free boots.
Right. You know, in the communities, it really, you have to understand, you know, grandma signed over her 20 of her 40, 50 of her, 40 of her 40 acres because she really didn't understand what she was reading. Eminent domain and all of these different things that were sort of systematically put in place. Even though you're free, I'm going to take everything away from you.
That's right.
Yeah, you're not a slave anymore. But I'm going to take, because
you need me again.
The only way for one civil rights to be trampled upon is for two things. You have to make someone poor and you have to keep them poor.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Poverty.
Wow.
That's the only what the only reason why civil rights was an issue. Poverty. If you make someone poor and you keep them poor, they will always be the needy. Period.
Yes.
That's the end of it. So the way out of all of this quagmire that we're sort of experiencing right now is we have to become economically empowered.
Absolutely.
We have to.
That's the only thing that these people respect is
that's
money.
That's it. Look, I may not like you, but guess what? You're making me money.
Yeah,
and I will let you I will let you sit at this table. But how about this? You can own the table.
Right.
Right.
You can own the company that made the table.
Exactly. That's just like with all these disingenuous notions. Correct. We stand behind Black people in this whole attempt to continue to have access to the Black dollar. Now, you know, this stuff ain't happen overnight, but we know what's going on is that basically they secure that access. So it's just like, oh, we're going to start hiring Black executives. I don't know what happened to us, but I personally feel as though we have this mentality that we always have to prove we're good enough and prove something to them, which includes climbing this proverbial ladder in lieu of getting the game, bringing it back to the hood. Now I'm saying, putting your people on, because that's how I was taught to operate. You go in, you get it, and then you disseminate it amongst your circle to make sure everything's good. And a lot of us don't like to do that because we want to go out here and play golf with Chuck and him.
And we want to code.
Even that, we have the crab mentality.
And we code so much, we become Candace. What's that girl name?
Oh. Candace Owens.
Permanently.
Hetty McGregor.
Look, you know, we were at a and normally I'm not a person that puts myself out there. But I remember Tamika, I think we were on a conference call. Yeah. And she said, we're going to wait till Dr. Bailey gets on this call. And someone said, who? Dr. Bailey. Oh, he's very educated. And one thing she always, and I've noticed about her, even for the last, how long we've been, 2 years?
2 years.
Everyone that she had to address me, if they didn't address me as Dr. Bailey, she would put them out her office. She said, you don't address that man the way he needs to be addressed, because if it was somebody else, you would say it. She said, so he will always be Dr. Bailey. Now, even when we're just having small talk on the phone, sometimes it's just Gary and Tamika, but she still say Dr. Bailey. I even heard her tell her kids one day, they was like, hi, Gary. She said, that's Dr. Bailey to you. Right there. That's how we boost and push our people. And we lost that. I can't think of the name of the book. It says we African Americans were bred to be led. But understand that we are leaders, but we know how to follow. I'm gonna tell you the biggest problem, and forgive me, some of y'all church folks. The church has taught us to be submissive and not lead. Because we don't allow people to be successors. We don't allow people to walk in leadership. We don't allow people to use their gifts. And that's why, Auntie, and we don't respect each other. But what happened is that even through that, we start putting each other down. We started pushing each other to the curb. And then now all of a sudden, when one of us gets shot and killed, now we want to stand together.
Right.
But what's the real point behind it?
Right.
Right.
Because you got mad when the lady at the street was telling you about your badass son before he started picking up guns and stuff. Like, you can't tell me that about my son, though, because it's that small. It's that small of a thing that leads to things happening. It's that we don't allow, because, you know, that's what we did. You know, I'm Jamaican, so, you know, the whole block could be, you'll get a beating from everybody.
Right.
Okay? Yeah.
And that's just what it was. And it's like we've lost that because it's this whole sense of, you're not going to correct my child. And your child could be wrong. And in being aggressive towards the person that's trying to correct your child, you're missing the fact that your child is still wrong and needs to be corrected. Correct. And we don't like to take ownership for anything.
Hmm. Oh, no, we don't. We don't.
Right.
That's a big thing. We don't. We don't.
Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was
just going to say there is this thing called cognitive dissonance. Where, you know, a person's actions and beliefs are not aligned, you know, and so when there's a misalignment between one's actions and beliefs, people try to make them, they try to rationalize, they try to make that dissonance disappear, right? And so, so that's one thing. And then second thing is, there's something called perspective distortion. And perspective distortion is so close on something, you can't really see what you're looking at.
Yeah.
Right? When you're too close to the action, you don't know what you're looking at. You got to step back.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And sometimes we have to step back in order to objectively be able to take criticism and say, you know what? You do kind of have a point.
Yeah.
Without getting so caught up in, and just take ownership, like you say, of now this situation that happened here, that just recently happened in Atlanta, where this young man was killed. Now, I watched that video. Now, I couldn't watch George Floyd's video at length. I couldn't watch that whole thing. But I watched that video. Now, there are a lot, I was in the barbershop today, that's why I'm looking fresh and clean. Y'all know you heard that song in your ear. Stop playing. There you go. Okay, look. But here's the thing. The guy was in my barbershop, and what we do as black people is we try to justify everything that we see another black person do to sort of fuel our lack of ownership and lack of accountability and responsibility within our own community. Mm-hmm. Now, at the end of the day, just because he's black, that does not mean that he was right in what he did. I'm just saying. That doesn't mean that he was right. And what happens is you go into this slippery slope of justifying everything that someone does. And what happens is there's a saying that goes, what'll make you laugh and make you cry.
Make you cry.
It's all a racial thing until that same person runs over your kid. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or that same person is that same person that you're defending, we're fighting to defend. They come in your house and they try to your own people. Somebody that you would have helped, somebody that you would have fed, come and trying to take from you. Mm-hmm. So we have to do better taking ownership, being accountable for
I think what we deserve to get whooped though.
Oh, God. That's true.
Well, because I definitely have.
Like, it's in the Constitution. We have the right to defend ourselves. Yeah. You don't have to sit there and let the man handle you. And that's the thing. They approach the situation with no respect. And you know, when you put your hands up, you get hands put on you.
Hands. That's true.
Yeah. You know, so ironically enough, there was a similar situation in Cobb County where there was a gentleman who was intoxicated in front of the police station and he was escorted home. There ain't nobody talk about that though. He was escorted home by the police.
And have you ever watched? I had the same thing, and you two know the guy. What's the guy named Dylan Roof?
Yeah,
the one who the guy named that killed Trayvon Martin?
Zimmerman.
I'm not a violent person, okay? I'm not. But why is George Zimmerman still alive?
Because we okay, so
I can't because
okay, let me explain why he's alive. Because I'm gonna tell you why this is my synopsis of why he's alive. I'll tell you why he's still alive, okay? It's because we want justice, right? And even though we don't get justice, we know we don't get justice from the so-called justice system. We're surprised when we get justice. When stuff go around, we're like, what? Yeah.
Right.
We're right. Shocked, right? Because we don't feel entitled to that because that's not our experience. Right. So when your child is killed, you're going to call the police. You know what his daddy should have did? Went to his house and knocked his head off. That one should have happened. That's why he's still alive. Because to me, that's family's responsibility. Because you do something to my child, I'm not calling the cops. I'm coming to your door.
Hold on.
And let's just be real, right? If something happens in the neighborhood and somebody does something to your child, you ain't calling the police. You're not going to go down there and beat the bricks off
them. Ain't
going
to be no crime. Right? And no
I'm coming to your house and I'm going to snatch you outside. And I want you to give me that same energy you gave my child.
There you go.
Period. So if it was being handled that way, it would be different conversation. Mm. That, and if our children had life insurance on them and they were paying out money, it would also be a different conversation because somebody had to cut a check. Hello. Because at no time was there any criminality, right, in these shootings. Gotcha. So if somebody was cutting a check, if Liberty Mutual was cutting a check, State Farm, also, if they were cutting checks, we wouldn't have to be doing all of the talking. They were like, you know what? Financially, it doesn't make sense. You're going to be killing all these black people out
because they're losing money.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I definitely have enjoyed you guys. I have so many comments on Instagram. I do see some on Facebook. It seems that everybody else has as well. It's been a pleasure talking to you. I have been, Tamika. Woman after my own heart. Mr. Jerry, I can tell you know your stuff. You know your stuff. I wish you all the best. Dr. Gary, I'm still waiting on that lesson. I wish you much success in your business endeavors. And anytime you need my platform to promote whatever you're doing.
And I want to make sure that we all have platforms to kind of put it out there before we leave. That way, if people want to inquire about financial investments or real estate, they can reach out to us. So,
the name of my company is kind of weird, but it's Financial Feng Shui. If you Google finance, I know, right? Financial Feng Shui is my company name. I host Black Work Bootcamp. I travel. I was traveling to Detroit, Chicago, D.C., Atlanta. I do free financial workshops. I talk about life insurance, stock market investing, estate planning, savings, budgeting, debt elimination strategies. If you want to check me out, you can pull up, you probably type in Blackwell Bootcamp event. I'm probably on the first page of Google. I do weekly workshops. So if you're interested in learning about stock market investing, different financial strategies to build wealth without changing your lifestyle, operative phrase, check me out. Ow! Yes, I felt that thing in my spirit. I just had to put that one out there. I'm good.
Dr. Gary, Hollywood says she's watching.
All right.
Well, I'm Miss MZ _ Bunnell on IG, so you guys can reach out to me on there if you have any questions about taxes, insurance, and anything. I try to be, if I can help you, I'll definitely try to point you in the direction of someone who can. Like I said, I have more patience and understanding for people who look like me. If you don't look like me, just though, ain't nothing.
Great.
And then lastly, and you can find something about all of us through Integrity Asset MGTLLC.com, which is our website. You can email us info@integritymanagementllc.com. If you're interested in real estate investments, stock, whatever it is, you know, feel free to reach out to us. I'm sure as me and my team, we have no problem sitting down to talk with you. because we have an initiative that we're trying to bring our people together for one common goal.
That's right.
Awesome. Well, again, it's been a pleasure. Thank you guys for letting me interview you, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure, Queen.
Thank you.
Thanks.